That's correct. Yeah. W4DJW. Yeah, that is correct. If he's there, it's no longer a remote station and it's legal again. Although, if it's your radio and it's on your property, then you're the one that's responsible. You can have another ham radio operator there. But if something bad happens, right, and they're not out to get you. The FCC is not out. They're not hunting for people that are breaking the law. And the first thing they're going to do is jump on you with a steep fine. That's not how they work. You can look up things that go on with the FCC and where they find people. And usually, typically, they are very polite about it. They'll tell you that if you're breaking the rules, they'll tell you that they'll explain it to you. What's going on and how that's not legal. And they give you an opportunity to clean up your act. And if you don't clean it up, then they'll come back to you again and tell you, okay, we told you once, we're telling you again. And they'll do that two or three times, typically, before. So they're helping you out. They want you to do right, right? They don't want to slap you with a heavy fine. But if you're belligerent and you just keep doing it, then that's when they'll clean house. That's when they'll make an example of you.
So here's what I'm thinking is that, so the radio there is, if I'm not there, it's not in use. It's behind locked doors. But if I took that radio to Chris's shop and said, here, use this radio instead of the 2980 2-meter that you've got. My intention was not to keep it on my property and then let Chris come and have control of it. What I'm saying is, if Andy decides that he's got no other way to get out, the radio's not in use unless I'm there. So I could just take that to Chris's and put that in place of his radio, and he's typically in the shop 12 to 14 hours a day. Well, that's 12 to 14 hours a day that Andy could have access to it. But obviously that's not 24 hours, but that's a big chunk of that day. Now, if I did that, that would work out for Andy and still be definitely legal. Yeah, that would be legitimate.
Yeah, that's correct. That wouldn't even be considered remote, really. The only time that it would be remote is if somebody walked away and left it operational. And then at that point, you know, if for some reason they request that you shut that down, you need to be able to shut it down right then. Without having to, you know, say, hey, hold on for a little bit while I make this run, and it's going to take me an hour or 20 minutes or whatever. That's the only way you get in trouble, is if somebody walked away. If as long as they turn it off before they walk off, you're good. Or you put a control radio up there that you can override it and you can shut it off from a distance. That works too.
Pretty interesting, Dave. W4DJW, KL4NUE. So where could I go to find information out about that? Is that a YouTube topic or is that just a Google text topic? Let me stop there.
So there's multiple. I mean, there's not a single solution for that. There is a typical solution. That is, the typical solution is a hardware solution. They have like controllers. They have like repeater controllers. That's what we're using right now. We're talking through a repeater controller, and those are usually hardware defined. Right, you got a piece of hardware, it's got an EEPROM, you program the EEPROM, you put the hardware up there, and it does everything it's supposed to do, and if they ask us to turn it off, then there's a few codes that we'll just punch in, and the repeater will go down, right? It won't work. That's the typical way. But those are kind of expensive. There's also, and they're a little bit limited in their functionality, and they've been around for quite a while, so they're getting harder and harder to find and harder to get replacement parts for. And what they're moving to is software-defined solutions, like, for example, a Raspberry Pi. Right, that's what we use for Echolink. That's what our new prototype computer is built on. And it can do, you can send control tones to it, and it can do whatever you want it to do. It can turn off the whole power at the whole place at the deer camp. It can turn on all the lights and all the power and the heat and air conditioner 10 minutes before you get there and have it ready to go by the time. It can do any of that stuff. So with a radio is a piece of cake with it. Right, and it's just left up to your imagination, whatever you want to do. You can run relay circuits. You can run, protected circuits, right, that only use optics to trigger something like that so that there's no chance of one interfering with the other. There's just, it's left up to your imagination. There's hardware-defined things that you can go buy off the shelf, and then there's programmable solutions that you can create as well. And there's software that will do it that you can get, open source software that you can get. And, you know, with the investment of an $11 computer or a Raspberry Pi and a free software and a relay, and you could have it. You could have a solution.
Okay. That's interesting. I appreciate you getting me straightened out on that. Because that saves me a whole lot of digging. But that, just so you know, that's where that area up there is. You got mountains and valleys and a river, a major river that moves through all that. And it just seems like there's one little corridor there that's just really bad weather. And it's bad. So the last major issue they had was a little micro tornado came through a year and a half ago, and the road that my cousin is on the end of it, well, it's 2 miles long, and it took the county a good couple of days to get in there just to clear the road. So I'm just saying, that's kind of what I'm looking at, because I know what Andy's saying, and I think you're right. I think probably the best thing to do is just let me take the crossbander up to Chris's, and then let me have his. I'll just get his 2-meter radio and put it down at the deer camp, and that way, if him or Andy or anybody on that hill needs it, they've got that option. Because there's 2 license operators within a mile radius, and they both did their license because of the weather in that little tract of property. So I'll discuss that with them and just put that there, and that way, if Andy can hit it, he can use it too. But that would, if they want to use it, that would require an operator to be with it, or they can't use it, and they both understand that. But I'll discuss that with them. But thank you, Dave. I appreciate you letting me know that, because that did save me a whole lot of time.
Okay, well, I won't keep you any longer. I just wanted to let you know that, because it is relatively simple, right? they assume one of them is going to walk up to you someday and say, turn it off, and you can, right? Or, like you're planning on doing, have an operator at the control point, and you're fine that way, too. Anyway, good talking to you. You're making all kinds of progress. Everybody's glad to hear you on here. Glad you decided to become a ham radio operator, because a lot of people are benefiting from it. KO4NUE, W4DJW, clear.
And enjoy your flight. 73 to you, KO4NUE, I'm clear.